Rebbe explained in a previous chapter that since light and life drawn from Hashem is infinite, Hashem's energy has no boundaries. That means the essence of the energy is absolutely unlimited. There is no limitation. Not only is it unlimited in quantity or in its power, it's also unlimited in its abilities. So the energy that Hashem uses to create the world is both finite and infinite. It's Ein Sof. It's truly infinite. It has absolutely no limitations. So in order for the finite world to be created, in order for a unlimited entity to create something that has limitations, this energy that Hashem puts into the world went through a number of contractions, which are called by the Kabbalists Tzimtzumim. Tzimtzum. Tzimtzum means a contraction. In other words, it's just another way of saying, and by the way, the early Kabbalists discussed whether or not they actually went through a contraction. The Arizal did not believe, and this is the belief that we are possessed. We believe that it did not actually go through the contraction. And what we say is Tzimtzum is Shelo Kipshuto. It's not literal. It means that Hashem made it appear as if, for us, it is actually contracted. But at any rate, we're talking about the way Hashem makes it appear for us. Okay? From that perspective, Hashem made it appear for us that the light goes through a number of contractions. And this is the only way that the finite creation could proceed from infinite light of the Ein Sof. And if it would have come down from step to step, that means level after level after level without, today we would say, a quantum leap, without a complete block, and then comes the next level that's completely different, then it would never have resulted in a world that's finite, that is limited. Now, why did Hashem take his infinite energy and reduce it? Only because he loves us. Only because he wants to give a place for us to exist. If we would not be able to fulfill Torah mitzvahs with free will, then we would be simply angels. So it's wonderful to have angels. But when you really care for somebody, you show that you trust them. And Hashem really, really loves the Jewish people, the neshamas of the Jews. And he wants to show that he trusts us. So therefore, he gives us a stage to play on where we feel that we are living on our own, and we can do our own, and we can do everything, and we're not completely dependent. So we can fool ourselves, and then we can choose to recognize Hashem. And Hashem does this, hides himself, because, as we just said, he wants to give us the opportunity to shine. Wants to give us the opportunity to really become great. So Alter Rebbe will now describe these contractions in a general manner, and will conclude that just as Hashem overcame all his obstacles, so too every Jew should overcome all obstacles of the spirit of love of Hashem. In other words, if the idea of all these contractions is because Hashem loves us, so then we should be smart and we should take a look and see through the veil. We should see through the even if the veil is a dark veil, even if the veil is a complete and utter quantum leap, and we can't see anything beyond it. We should have the seichel, we should have the smarts, we should have the emuna, the faith. And again, the way that happens is through mitzvahs and through study, but to see Hashem's hand, to see Hashem's presence. We should overcome those obstacles. In other words, the obstacles that are stopping us from seeing Hashem. Moreover, just as Hashem brought forth his light into this world in a manner that is above orderly or limited progression, we should also serve Hashem in a way that's completely not normal, completely not usual, completely not limited. It's without limit. We should renounce everything for the sake of his love of Hashem, for the sake of our love of Hashem. Even limitations which are foisted upon him by the world's nature should not act as an impediment to his service of God. So therefore, Alter Rebbe now is going to explain to us that tzimtzumim, the contractions, are because of Hashem's love for us. And we should recognize that even though we can't see Hashem, it's only because He really loves us. That's a very, very powerful statement. A little difficult if you're going through tzaris, but that's our belief. And in fact, as we spoke many times, the concept of the Yud-K and the Vav-K, that the higher form of energy is the Yud-K. Again, we're asking for a little bit of sweetness, a little bit of honey in our tea. We don't want to have bitter stuff. And the Rebbe does explain to us that the whole thing is just a setup. It's just a construct for us to be able to see through the veil. And once we see through the veil, then everything opens up, then everything becomes sweet. Ultimately, the ultimate gift is the coming of Mashiach, when we see clearly the energies and there's no block whatsoever. So let's see the text itself. Alter Rebbe says, even though the particular aspects of how the Ein Sof descends from the worlds are too numerous to count, it is known to those who have tasted of the tree of life, meaning those who have studied Kabbalah, that there are three levels in general of powerful and comprehensive contractions. And therefore, these three contractions cause three stages, three worlds. We've mentioned these worlds in the past, but they're called the worlds of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. The world, the top world, which we call Atzilus, is godliness itself. We've spoken about Atzilus in the past, the world of Atzilus. So in general, we do speak about four stages. And the top world, the world of Atzilus, we say is a world where the energy of Hashem is very, very much evident. It's not concealed. And therefore, in the world of Atzilus, you don't have any kind of limitation whatsoever. That's in the language of the Alter Rebbe, the world of Atzilus is godliness itself. So therefore, where does the punctuation start? Where does the contraction start? It starts in the second world, which is called the world of Bria. And then it continues to a third stage, the world of Yetzira, and a fourth stage, the world of Asiya. And these are just terms for the three levels of continued contraction, where the energy, the light that Hashem puts into creation, gets diluted and more diluted and then more diluted. The result of diluting the light is that the entities, the things that are created in those stages, have more and more self-awareness and less what's called bitul, less and less nullification. In other words, they have more and more feeling of separateness from their creator and less seamlessness. And then Alter Rebbe is going to explain to us, as we just said, that the goal is to climb back up that ladder and try to get as sensitive as possible to Hashem's presence. I should mention also that when we talk about these stages, these three worlds, and we've said this in the past, the energy that's inside the pipeline of these three stages is contracted, but the infinite energy is still everywhere at the same time. It's a little bit difficult to understand how is this possible, but Hashem could do anything. Literally, that's the only way to understand it. So you got finite energy at the same time as you got incredible amount of infinite energy, which simply isn't felt. And therefore, we'll talk about this later in Tanya in detail. What does it mean that Hashem's infinite energy is everywhere, even in a place where there's Rishayim, wicked people, evildoers, non-Jews? Hashem's infinite energy is everywhere. So this is something that was a great polemic, great debate, the times the Alter Rebbe, between some of the other sects, the other groups. And Alter Rebbe writes a letter to stick up for the opinion of the Baal Shem Tov that explains this, that at the same time that there is contraction, at the same time, in that same space, There is also infinite energy which simply isn't felt. We have previously said this is called the sovev energy, the energy that is surrounding. In order to create the world of Bria, what's in the world of Bria? The higher souls and the angels whose service to God is in the sphere of intellectual faculties of Chabad. That means the neshamas who worship Hashem with the three levels of Chachma and Bina and Das, they have a deep, deep understanding, and they worship Hashem with an intellectual. What's the difference between a person that's worshiping or doing something because they're motivated intellectually versus a person that's doing something because they're motivated emotionally, which, as we're going to say, is the next level? Well, the difference is when you look at the person, you see the one guy is jumping around. The guy, the individual, the person who's motivated emotionally is jumping around, is so excited, this and that. The person is motivated intellectually, is quiet, sitting, meditating, completely engrossed. We're not talking about a person who's distracted. We're talking about completely engrossed. But there is not an outward manifestation, an outward something. It's very much inward. So we talk about the angels and the neshamas that are neshamas of Bria. This is the world of intellect. Very much not an outward emotional display. The souls and the angels receive influence from Chabad, from the top three levels of the world of Atzilus, which illumines them. As the note says, in order to create a world whose creations are not wholly unified to us, not wholly nullified to God, as is the case of Atzilus, but are only capable of knowledge and comprehension. And it will be noted that comprehension entails an awareness of one's own being, and that comprehension presupposes an identity who is comprehending. So this is, there has to be anyway, the Alter Rebbe says, a powerful contraction in order to move from Atzilus to Bria. In Atzilus, there is a complete, as a seamlessness with Hashem's energy. In Bria, it's true that the neshamas that are in Bria and the malachim, the angels that are in Bria, have a deep, deep intellectual comprehension, but still they do feel themselves. They do feel separate. They do feel that they are not completely connected. And therefore, there had to be a powerful contraction between the world of Atzilus and the world of Bria. And the same, the Alter Rebbe says, goes from Bria to Yetzirah. What happens in Yetzirah, the world of Yetzirah? This is the world of emotional excitement, the minute portion of light, which clothes itself in the world of Bria, is still infinite relation to the world of Yetzirah. So the Alter Rebbe says that as little as the energy is in Bria, when you compare it to Atzilus, the first world, it's still too huge for the next level. So there has to be a complete and a very large contraction in order to go to the next level. And it's unable to clothe itself in the world of Yetzirah unless there is a contraction and an obscuration and cover-up. And the same goes from the world of Yetzirah to Asiya. As much as the energy of Hashem is covered up in Yetzirah, in order to get to Asiya, it's still too powerful, it's still too much, and you will not create the entities, the beings that Hashem wants to create. Just too powerful. And therefore, there has to be another contraction. Alter Rebbe says, we have explained elsewhere how these contractions work in order to make them accessible to our poor intellect. What does it mean, these contractions? But what is the purpose of these contractions? The purpose is to create finally a human being and to create finally a person that feels that they are battling evil. They are battling Sitra Achra. Sitra Achra is an Aramaic term for the other side, the dark side. And when the person should battle evil, then they can bring about a preeminence of light, supplanting the darkness. When you have a fight and you can push back against the negativity, then, and you're successful, then you feel the energy. So the purpose of all of this, you say, why would Hashem go to such trouble? Just create energy and finish. What's wrong with having energy? So it's sort of a funny thing, but that's, at the end of the day, that's an interesting question, which is another thing. Why did Hashem create the world? So the answer, ultimately, the Alter Rebbe says, is because it gives Hashem pleasure when we recognize him, even though it's difficult. It makes Hashem happy. It gives him pleasure. And when a person says, this makes me happy, you can't ask a question on that. Why does it make this person happy? That's what makes me happy. I like, that's what I like. So how could you ask a question of why Hashem? That's the ultimate answer that Alter Rebbe says. But why did Hashem go through this entire scheme of contraction and then contraction and then contraction, cover up the energy, cover up the cover up, cover up, cover up, so that eventually they should be able to be a human being living in a world where there's negativity, where there's sin, where there's wicked people and bad things happening and murder and wars and all kinds of terrible things and sickness and who knows what, in order that a person should be able to push back and recognize the energy itself. So it's, the whole thing is a big game. In other words, it's simply a game. And we should recognize that, is what the Alter Rebbe is saying right here. The fact is, there's no contraction. The fact is, Hashem loves us. The fact is, Hashem's infinite energy is with us all the time. It's just that we can't see it. It's just that we can't feel it. So therefore, we should be smarter than what appears to be. And we should recognize the true truth. And that is that Hashem is with us in his complete majesty, in his complete greatness, on every single level. When a person, Alter Rebbe says, elevates his divine soul, he elevates his vivifying soul, the Nefesh HaBahamas, the soul that gives nourishment, the soul that gives life. As we spoke in the way beginning of Tanya, that we have two power plants inside of ourselves. We have a soul that gives us life, soul that gives and life and personality and so on. We have a soul that's a direct connection. It's only holiness, only connection to spirituality. So when a person elevates his neshamas, and a person elevates his thoughts and his speech and his action, the Rebbe previously explained to us also in the beginning of Tanya that these are called garments because that's how the soul expresses itself, just like a person puts on clothing. And the clothing is a way of explaining to other people how you're feeling about yourself or what your status in life is and so on. That's what your clothing is all about. So your thought, speech, and action in the language of Kabbalah is called garments. So when a person elevates his neshama and a person elevates the garments of the neshama, the clothing, which is thought, speech, and action, and all the powers of the body, God alone, as has been discussed earlier at length, this is the purpose of the descent of the worlds. The only reason that Hashem made all of this stuff and all this cover-up is so we should have an uncover-up. We should have a reveal. So why did Hashem cover-up? In order that we should see through the cover-up. In order that we should have an opportunity, a stage to play on, as we said. We should have an opportunity to shine. We should have an opportunity to excel. And therefore, we should recognize that just as water, we said this, we've used this analogy before, just as water mirrors the reflection of a face, in the meaning when you look inside water, what do you see in the water? You see your face. So therefore, the Pasuk goes on to say, so too the heart of man to his fellow man, meaning when you know that somebody really cares for you, really loves you, that itself, that knowledge itself, wakes up inside of you some kind of a reciprocating emotion. The opposite is true too. If you know somebody really hates you, for whatever reason, God forbid, then you feel uncomfortable. So there is a concept that we are motivated by the emotions that are shown to us. Hashem has shown us this great, great love of going through all the trouble of concealing his energy. And it must be a painful process for Hashem. Why would Hashem enjoy, so to speak, having his energy covered up, even though I mean, I don't mean that literally, obviously, painful when it comes to Hashem. But why would Hashem want to cover up his energy? The answer is only so that we could uncover it. And Hashem has laid down and set aside, figurative speaking, his great infinite light, has stored it away and concealed it by means of these three different contractions, all because of his love for lowly man in order to raise him up to God. Love impels the flesh will not impede it. This is an expression that means that no physical thing can get away of two people who are really in love with each other. There's no physical thing. You move heaven and earth. Thus, because of God's love for his people, he figuratively speaking set aside his great light, concealed it through many contractions, and so on. This being so, how much more so, as we mentioned earlier, should a person put aside all of their own issues, all of their own desires, all of their own wants, and say, all I want is what Hashem wants. I don't want anything unless Hashem wants it. If Hashem wants it, that's what I want. And the Alter Rebbe says, not in order to cleave to him with attachment desire, not your money, not your wife, not your kids. And of course, you can say the opposite, not your husband, not your kids. Now, the Alter Rebbe is not saying here that a person should leave their family. But the Alter Rebbe is, God forbid, that's not Yiddishkeit. What the Alter Rebbe is saying is, many times we make all kinds of excuses. I can't do this mitzvah, I can't do that mitzvah, my wife doesn't like, my husband doesn't like, my kids don't like, I don't want this, I don't want that. So you got to figure it out, obviously. Now, the Alter Rebbe is also not saying that we should be destructive in our relationships. The Alter Rebbe is saying that you have to figure it out. And Hashem gives us the trust and gives us the ability and gives us the energy to be able to figure out how to get around anything that is blocking our fulfillment of mitzvahs, our connection to Hashem, and that's what ultimately is it will give Hashem the greatest pleasure. This will enable one to understand the eminently reasonable explanation of the rabbinic enactment that we have to say before reading Shema in the morning. Alter Rebbe says, there is a in the Siddur, in the Shacharis prayer, if you look in the davening, there's a mitzvah to read the Shema every day. So, of course, we read the Shema in the morning, and another mitzvah to read the Shema at night. So, in the Shacharis prayer, we read the Shema. Now, in the Shacharis prayer, before reading the Shema, there are two blessings that we say, two long blessings, long paragraphs. And in fact, they're called the blessings of Shema in the Mishnah. We go back to the times of the Mishnah, it's a couple thousand years. These blessings were written actually 2,500 years ago. So this is two blessings. And at first glance, the Alter Rebbe says, the blessings before the Shema seem to have no connection whatsoever with the recital of the Shema. They don't talk about, what do they talk about? They talk about angels. They talk about the love the angels have for Hashem. They talk about the love Hashem has for us. What does this have to do with the Shema? The Shema is a declaration of faith. The Shema is a declaration of Ve'ahavta, Hashem Elokecha, you should love God. We talk about the mitzvah of teaching your Torah to your children. We talk about the mitzvah of mezuzah and tefillin.
It is done.
What does it have to do with angels? So,
yes, to be said.
Why is this called the blessings of Shema? So the Alter Rebbe says, because the whole idea of the Shema is to love Hashem. The purpose of these blessings is to serve as a preparation to Shema. Since the main objective of Shema is to attain the love of Hashem with both one's inclinations, that not only the divine soul should love Hashem, but also the animal soul and the Yetzer Hara should also come to love God. For this, one must first meditate on the contents of the blessings of the Shema. What does it describe? It describes how the angels are completely nullified when they sing their praises to Hashem every single day. They go out of their minds, they're completely nullified with awe and fear and emotion. Thus, the blessings preceding the Shema are indeed similar to other blessings. Just as the sages instituted blessings to be recited before performing any other particular mitzvah in order to make the person a fit receptacle. Why do we have a blessing before doing a mitzvah? Because the word bracha in Hebrew means an energy flow. That's what the word bracha means. In order to be able to experience the energy that's in that mitzvah, our sages gave us a key to unlock that pipeline. They gave us a key to unlock that energy flow. And that's the bracha. That's what the word bracha means. I just mentioned the word bracha in Hebrew is related to the word connection and energy flow. And the brachas, the blessings before Shema, are also keys. They are methods of unlocking the powerful, powerful power that is in the Shema to love Hashem on both levels, not only that our nefesh holakis should love God, not only our divine soul should love Hashem, but even our material soul, even our material side should be so wrapped up and so excited and so single-mindedly focused on only doing what Hashem wants, only doing the holy thing, the Torah thing. So therefore, that is what the Shema is all about. The reason is the essence of the recital of Shema is to fulfill the injunction with all your heart, with both inclinations, that is to say, without anything that hinders a person from love of Hashem. What is your heart? Your heart refers to your wife and children. A man's heart, by his very nature, is bound to his family. So the sages of a blessed memory have commented on the verse, for he spoke, it came to pass. This refers to one's wife. He commanded, it stood fast. This refers to one's children. This is a verse that we read later earlier in the davening, right after, in the beginning of the davening. In other words, that the fact of the matter is, the Torah tells us, that a person's family is incredibly important. But yet, you should not let even the most important things get in the way of the greater mission, which is loving Hashem. Now, again, it does not mean that you should leave off your family. It does mean you should figure out how to either include them in the journey, or you got to be smart about it. And that's, of course, nobody said that all of this, this is a chapter where, you read the chapter and you say, oh, this is wonderful. I'm going to go ahead and become a tzaddik. And yes, we have the abilities. Doesn't mean it's easy. So you got to figure it out. The Rebbe is simply telling us that Hashem is giving us the energy not to be distracted by even the things that we think are the most important to us and so on and so forth. And the Rebbe is saying, even those very, very important things, you have to put in perspective and you have to use in the right way. You have to train and you have to use in the right way. Your soul and might is understood. Literally, your life is not going to depend on the service. All are renounced for the love of God, not your own life, not the life of your family, and so on. And this we're talking about, we can understand this very, the Alter Rebbe is using very general terminologies here. The love of your life, the love of your personal life, the love of your family life. But people do all kinds of things that they know is not 100% because after all, it's not, it's easier, it's this, it's that, I mean, more comfortable, this and that. Maybe not. Who knows? Maybe not. Maybe if you didn't do it, maybe you'd actually be better. And what we're saying right now is that if you stick to the plan, if you stick to Hashem's plan, then that's the true way to love yourself and to love your family and to bring the energy of Hashem into your space and into your family space. So therefore, how can a physical man attain this level of godly love that nothing can obstruct? To this end, therefore, we read the blessing of the Shema, where we talk about even the greatest of angels who are proclaiming the holiness, the greatness of the Hashem. They are nullified in his blessed light. And they are saying, the angels say, holy, 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 all that they're saying, the whole earth is full of his glory. What does it mean, the whole earth is full of his glory? That means the community of Israel above, which is Malchus of Atzilus, the source of the Jewish soul, which is called earth. It's a poetic, metaphorical way of saying the source for all the Jewish neshamas. Israel on this earth below, wherein Jews perform Torah mitzvahs, for which reason specifically is this world filled with his glory. It is here that God clothes and reveals himself, as been explained earlier. So therefore, what we say in the Shema is that the angels in heaven are recognizing that the purpose of creation is so the energy can come down, can be concealed, can create Jewish nation, can create Jews who are doing mitzvahs, and that is the entire purpose. And when we realize that, then we really, if we can somehow keep ourselves focused on that, that is the most powerful motivator. And so too, we also find in the blessing Yotzer Ar, which is the blessing also before the Shema, regarding other categories of angels whose place is in the lower world and the seraphim angels, who are therefore unable to comprehend how godliness is separate and apart, the Ophanim, the Holy Chayos, the mighty sound, the clear, blessed be the glory of Hashem, may be drawn down from his place. They neither know nor do they apprehend his place. They don't know the source of the energy, but they do sense the energy itself. As we say a few lines later, for he alone is exalted and holy. And then, so essentially, what are we saying? We're saying in these blessings before the Shema, take a look. The angels in heaven are telling us what's important. We should be able to use that in our life. We should be able to buy into it, and that should give us the motivation, the excitement, the push that we need in order to focus on the goal. The angels are jealous of us. This is something that, by the way, we find many different places, that when Jews sit and study Torah, the angels are jealous. The angels don't have the ability to create as much energy as we have. The ability to create. So the angels are saying, look at this energy that Hashem is putting through all the worlds. Look at that. Where is it going? It's going to the Jews. Wow, this is unbelievable.